Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We are also rebroadcast on A2Zen.fm on Sundays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show page. We also have a new page. It's actually not a new page from the standpoint of the link. If you click on the interviews page, you are going to find a list of interviews, and each one of those items is a link to that interview that I have conducted over the last, I'm going to say, 6 months as of this broadcast. And you can go there and listen to these interviews. They will air on the radio program, but I decided that I wasn't going to just hold on to them. I was going to make them available. And that list will grow, and it will change, and it will expand as time goes on. So we encourage you to go there to the interviews page. That's the link there below. I think it's below the voiceover work and so forth. And you can listen to interviews that have not hit the airwaves yet, but will. They will be dated. They will be scheduled. And so we're very excited about that page because it gives you an opportunity to hear something that most people who don't have web access, most everybody does, but there are a few, to listen to it. And you can share it with your friends and your family, and we encourage you to do that. And I decided to do that because, again, I didn't want to have people waiting. It also makes it available to the guest as well, and they can go there and they can listen to the interview, or they can download it, put it on their website, do with it what they will. The information is there. It's virtually public domain, folks. I mean, what are you going to do? I could say it's my show. It's not my show. It's your show, and I certainly hope that you're enjoying it. I hope that you will also enjoy our guests that we have upcoming over the coming weeks and months. Go to the schedules page and check out the folks that are there. If you have ideas for guests or topics, we'd love to hear about them. Just send me an email, richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. I'm going to bring to the microphone now a guest that we've had on before. Very excited to have her back. She's back in the States for only a little while, then she's off again. And she writes a series of books, and she speaks with, if you will, or from the perspective of, or gets information through the various people, the entities. And it's like Buddha speaks, and Mary speaks, and today it's Shiva speaks, conversations with Mahavatar Babaji. And she is my guest. She's been on before, and I want to welcome Rashmi Kilnani back to our program again. Thank you so much for joining us here on Tell Me Your Story. It's great to have you back.
Thank you, Richard, for having me back. I think I was here for the Divine Mother Speaks,
yes.
The Healing of the Human Heart, and the Buddha Speaks to the Buddha Nature Within. And so this is my third book, which currently is an electronic book on Kindle and Nook. But I'm just signing a contract tomorrow for the hard copy to come out in January, which will be available to many across the globe. So that's really exciting.
I mean, most everybody has some device, be it a PC, a Mac, or some other pad or pod or phone or what have you, that can download these books. And that certainly is something new for most of us who have bookcases at home with books stacked from end to end and top to bottom. And all of those books would now fit on these devices or machines, if you will. But it doesn't change the message. The message is just as poignant and as powerful and as insightful and inspiring as it would be in hard copy, as you've just mentioned, this new contract you're signing for the hard copy of the book Shiva Speaks.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about Rashmi Kilnani. For those who are not familiar, who did not tune in the last couple of times we've had you on when you spoke about the Divine Mother Speaks, the Healing of the Human Heart, and the Buddha Speaks to the Buddha Nature Within, share with us where you, as the visionary, if you will, and the energy healer and the channel and metaphysical teacher, which always intrigues me to no end, how this all began for you.
Well, that's a you know, many, many stories all in one, but just to keep it simple, years ago, I went to hear a lecture on the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in Bombay, and it was explained in a way that suddenly clicked, that I am not the knower of the field. I am not the field being the mind, body, and the intellect. I'm the knower of the field. I'm the knower, or the detached witness of the mind, body, and the intellect. And then I studied meditation and became a powerful meditator vis-a-vis my previous lifetimes. And that changed my life and led to many things that led to my being a healer, coming to the States, studying Reiki, going on to studying all the different energy systems across the globe, major ones, you know. And then I went on to becoming a teacher of Reiki masters and of different Reiki energy mastery streams and other energy modalities, which then led to my channeling these beings, the Ascended Masters, and then it led to me channeling these books that I was guided to channel through the Ascended Masters for this wake-up time to help humanity now to make it easy and graceful to move into the new energies of heaven on earth, call it unity consciousness, call it a space beyond just time and space and linear living and being.
Well, I know that that's a huge topic for all of us in these days, if you will. I am noticing, because of obviously with the programs that we're doing on this this broadcast, that even though the focus these days is no different than it ever has been, from the standpoint of the spiritualists, the metaphysicians, the intuitives, etc. And again, any label you choose to throw out there, it's the same group of people. It's always been about the soul, the spirit, the oneness, the unity. But it seems I'm feeling something different today than I felt back in the 80s and 90s as I had begun my early years of my search. In regards to that same message, it's exactly the same message, but there's a different feeling about it. Do you sense that?
Definitely. You know, the energies are so shifting and at such a rapid speed, and it's all getting beyond time and space. And the way that's happening is that time just seems to be speeding up, doesn't it? It seems to be going faster and faster. And yet that still point within many of us that are on a conscious path, you know, it seems to be getting deeper and deeper. Can you relate to that?
I actually can. This sounds kind of strange, but as I was going through some boxes in our shed the other day, I actually came across a book that is at least 53 years old, 52 and some odd months old. It's my baby book that my mother kept.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across it, and I was reading through it. And, of course, you know, it has the various illnesses and diseases and the shots and those kinds of things. And she laid in there, glued in there pennies for the weight that I was when I was born and some of the pictures and so forth. But what I found interesting was some of the personality information that she wrote down. And I thought, my God, this was half a century ago. And here I am today. And all of that she wrote down makes perfect sense to me today, you know. It explains everything. That's how I started out. And that I feel as though I'm getting back to that for the first time, you know, in decades. And it does feel as though, and I've said this to folks before, I mean, I'm in my early 50s, but inside I feel 17.
Absolutely. I totally relate to that. And I think now the time is coming when we can be whoever we want, and we can actually release the past, because it's ultimately an illusion, and recreate on a whole blank new canvas, a blank new screen. But to do that, you know, we have to let go of all the things that no longer serve us, be they concepts, ideas, places, people, and material possessions. So that's never an easy process for human beings, because we tend to not enjoy change, and we prefer to suffer in the comfy slippers of that which we know, as opposed to just heal and come into bliss and joy. That seems easier for people, generally speaking. And this book, Shiva Speaks, is about this archetypal energy of the letting go, or in some cases where it gets too stubborn, of the destruction of the lower for the rebirth of the higher.
I think that's what I'm feeling more than anything else is just that, as you just described it, the destruction of the lower for the creating and, in essence, the birth or rebirth of the higher, that people have become not just disenfranchised, but they have become really, they don't want to have anything to do with the old ways. And the old ways don't have to be any more than a couple of years old to be old ways, because we're finding that they're really not serving us anymore.
Exactly, exactly. And this energy from outside of ourselves, which, you know, the New Ages are on about the photonic energy, which is pure light energy, which is definitely impacting our current reality and Earth and the solar flares, all that is happening, and that's on the outside. But the truth is, we already are that which we wish to become. The kingdom of heaven is already within us.
Mm-hmm.
But we've forgotten. And we've had a 26,000-year sleep cycle where we have been very linear, very left hemispheric, and very male, not as in the sexual male aspect, but this energy of doing and making happen and divide and rule and conquer and, you know, competition and so on. And those energies are now beginning to recede, whether we like it or not, from within ourselves. And the new energy, which is actually not new at all, is the energy of the feminine, the divine feminine, which is allowing, being, emptying in order for the new babies to be born, whether they be babies of creativity, joy, cooperation, and so on. And as we tune in more to this flow of the new energy, we find magic and mystery and joy in our lives. Whereas if we keep clinging to the 3D constructs, and there's going to be more suffering, and that Shiva dance can be quite, you know, intense and feel like, oh my God, you know, why me? Why is it all being taken away?
Well, I find that an interesting statement because, and I find it interesting only because of my feelings toward, for example, the land or Mother Earth, however you wish to phrase it, and a wonderful line from an Irish song that says, "You don't own the land owns you," in basically saying that we come into this world with nothing, and we will, in terms of material things, we will also leave with nothing. And so why acquire?
Absolutely.
Why accumulate? That's kind of what I'm hearing here.
Absolutely. And the thing is that, you know, everybody says to me that, you know, I say I have very little security in my life. I've given up even having a proper home now. I just live out of hotels. And I had a little rented place for a while in London, and I've just let that go as well, and partnerships and material things and so many things. But the truth is that security is an illusion anyways, and it can go in a minute through an earthquake or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you say, we come with nothing and we leave with nothing. And but the thing is that as I do that, prosperity doesn't actually leave me, and I become very light on my feet, and I'm able to create so many amazing energies and spaces of morphogenic healing for the whole planet and for within my life and all the lives I touch and so on, and create so much. And that freedom is there for every single person on the planet now, you know. But we have free will. And so even Shiva or Buddha or any aspect of the divine, ultimately the divine is one and we are one with the divine. But those energies that are high energies of the divinity within us, they can't help us unless our willingness is there with it.
I'm hearing also that when you personally have let go of a lot of the material trappings of this life, as you've just described, you have broadened the space within your life for an increased flow. I think that's what, I guess...
Absolutely. And not just physical things,
mm-hmm.
but also emotional, genetic, cellular, conditioning. You know, I'm Indian and I'm a woman and therefore I'm, you know, have to stay married to a rich husband. All that stuff, you know, one after another, you know, realizing I am neither this nor that. And ultimately, all these definitions limit me. And at the periphery, it's okay for me to be an individual, to have a name, to be a nationality, or be cosmic, or whatever it is. But ultimately, you know, at the center is stillness, is nothingness. And everything comes from that nothingness energy, which is the black hole energy. And now scientists realize that this black hole leads, as soon as you go into the nothingness, then it opens into a whole new vista of a whole new universe. And that's what we each have now. And we're multidimensional, so it won't just be one new universe, but we have multiple ones. But unless we tap into the bedrock of our reality, which is that nothingness, and it does feel scary, and it does feel mysterious, and it does feel uncomfortable, because the whole linear age of 26,000 years was about control and the mind and the illusion of the mind being very real and very solid. But the truth is, it isn't. And people are really beginning to have an experiential of that, or they're learning it in the hard way as relationships destruct, geopolitical changes are happening, economic changes are happening, and earth birth changes are happening. So if we want to reduce the intensity of these changes, then we have to individually and collectively allow our feelings, allow our emotions, you know, process our anger and repressions and suppressions and so many things, and begin to release joyfully for the collective, for the whole, and for the inner peace, you know.
In a conversation I had with some friends not too long ago, the question came up. Now, I've asked the question, where are we headed as a people, as a species? And that answer, that question has been answered by a number of people as far as, okay, the next evolutionary step of man is, and then they give their answer. But in this conversation with friends, the question came up, why is it necessary for the species of man to continue? I mean, there was a movie that came out called Children of Man, I think it was Children of Man or Child of Man. And basically the scenario was that every woman on the planet was no longer able to give birth, except one who was found in the underground. And now the powers that be were searching to try to find this woman to kill her and her baby. A little frightening scenario, but nonetheless, I guess that some people are kind of asking that. We're not looking to annihilate the species because we're so destructive and this and that and the other. But what if we just stopped having children? What if we just stopped? Because, I mean, who says that the species of man has to continue?
Well, I feel that the species of humanity will continue.
Okay.
Because this is the age of the divine feminine, and that is a creative age.
Okay.
So now the funny thing is that I'm talking about a book called Shiva that represents destruction, but it's destruction of the lower for the higher, as we've just said.
Yes.
So, but within that, then Shiva becomes the greatest creator and is represented by the Shiva Lingam, which is the, you know, the divine phallic symbol of creativity within the manifest realm, the male energy of creation. So that creation has to continue. And we are in an evolutionary cycle based on what the, you know, ancients and meditation and so on, you know, is the wisdom that everybody comes to. And all the, you know, many of the teachers out there are all coming to these same similar ideas of where we're headed. But ultimately, that isn't a foregone conclusion where humanity is going to go. It is going to evolve. 3D reality, as we know it, is going to get loosen its grip. And we're moving into this fifth dimensional frequency, which in which time and space don't really exist. And we'll be able to teleport and do many things that we, that only some of us right now are privy to. And but it's going to be very different. One can't conceive of it with the 3D lens.
Okay.
And so so to try and figure it out with the mind is not going to work.
All right, then I'll
and
stop
the other
doing
thing
that.
Is, we can't decide exactly what that's going to be because each and everyone has free will, and each and everyone has their own world. There is no one world.
Right.
You know?
There are 7 billion of them.
And each and everyone of us will create their own world, and within that, collectively, what that world will be. It's a funny one. It's like we don't know, and yet we do know that it is going to be a unified field once again.
Well, I know that was one of the answers that was given to the question, what's the next evolutionary step for man? And that is that unification, or as the word that was used was community. That's the next level for man, is that it's not that you are going to give up your individuality,
no,
but you are going to understand the need for and to be a part of the community.
And as I said earlier, you know, the energy is going to be cooperation, which is community.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be co-creation, which is the current mind glyph we're in. And these mind glyphs get more and more intense, as in everything starts happening faster and faster and faster. So this co-creative energy is just going to suddenly take off in the next 3 years, big time. And within just a very short so-called period of linear time, when we look back at this time, we're going to go, my goodness, you know, what a shift, you know.
Yeah.
That's why it's called the shift of the ages. And from a metaphysical point of view, which ultimately everything is one, it is that we are just re-remembering who we are, which is that we're the oneness at the core, and on the periphery, then it's okay to have the dance of individuality, as long as we realize that that is not the bedrock of reality.
I find it interesting, too, Rashmi, that people over the last, I'm going to say 3-4 decades, and again, those are the decades that I was most aware of some of these things being said, people would call intuitives or psychics, and they would be asking questions of a very material nature, my job, money, relationships, and so forth. And what I'm finding today as we are talking, even as we are talking, that we'd like to know what the future is. I mean, it would be nice on the one hand. Please tell me, Rashmi, what is tomorrow going to be like? Will I make lots of money? Will I have incredible relationships? Will I have a great job, et cetera, et cetera?
If you choose it.
Certainly. At the same time, I sit here going, you know what? It doesn't matter. Because everything that I have conversed with my guests about over the years has always come down to the now, this moment.
Absolutely.
And nothing
more. The future
more.
Is such an illusion, you know. It really, really is.
I also was reading from, I will call it my metaphysical primer. I didn't write it. I'm not saying it's mine because I wrote it, but it's because it's the one that I started on. And it's talking about the Maya of illusion and delusion, and even of duality, in that even the dualistic constructs that we have taken on in this world, they're all part of the same illusion. There is no duality. There's only the oneness.
Exactly, exactly. And within that oneness, there is something even deeper, and that is the nothingness. So as the great wise ones say, through love I know that I am everything, and through wisdom I know that I am nothing. And that is the paradox of this universe, that everything comes from nothing, and it becomes something, but that something is the grand illusion, and we can enjoy it. It's a holographic reality, and it's malleable, and it's multidimensional, and as within, so without, and it starts from the within, not the without. And as soon as we begin to get these truths once again, because it's time to wake up and re-remember this truth, then everything becomes easy, because we can just enjoy it all, including so-called birth and death. You know, it's all drama. And then there's the detached witness watching the drama. That is the reality, is in that detached witness. And beyond that detached witness is the nothingness, is deep mystery, where, you know, there is the known, the unknown, and the unknowable. And so when we begin to realize this experientially, and it's going to happen for everybody now, either kicking and screaming or gracefully and with joy.
Mm. It's interesting you use the term hologram, because the thought occurred to me, number one, that we are all not just parts of the hologram, we are the hologram. And to that, I remember seeing a film, an explanatory film, if you will, educational film, about holograms, and that they would actually use a piece of glass as the film, as the final, where the image would show up, and it was a single sheet, and there was the hologram, and they'd move the glass around, and you could see around, and it was three-dimensional. Then they broke the glass. Every single piece of glass contained the whole hologram. Not pieces or parts, but the whole thing.
Exactly.
And so we may be split apart as physical individuals, but we all are not just part of the whole, we are the whole.
And even quantum physics has come to that now. So, you know, anybody who wants to be too scientific about it, well, they need to step up their science
there
and
you
get into the quantum physics field. And they can say, well, we don't believe in that. And yes, if we don't believe in something, well, that will be our reality. Because reality will rearrange itself based on the attention and the intention within manifest reality. In unmanifest reality, nothing's happening to nobody anywhere, anyways. And that's the cosmic joke that Shiva talks about. That's the cosmic joke that Mahavatar Babaji, who was, you know, made very famous through Autobiography of a Yogi.
Yes.
But also through giving rebirthing to the planet through Leonard Orr, who's my colleague and very excited about my new book. And he came to the signing and gave a little speech at Barnes & Noble because he just loved the books and met Babaji many times in the last official body in Harikan in the mountains. Hmm. Where, you know, cats can come and eat you up, or could at that time anyways. And so, you know, this book is really powerful. It carries the energy behind the words, as does The Divine Mother Speaks. And of the three books, I would say The Divine Mother Speaks and The Shiva Speaks books are extremely important. The Buddha book is also very good for detached witnessing and so on. But these two books are the energy of the now moment, this energy of the divine feminine, the emptying to receive, the heart energy, which is what we're all coming into, this heart energy, and marrying the higher mind with the heart, becoming more whole-brained. And then the Shiva energy, which is, you know, Babaji teaches truth, simplicity, and love. And we've just covered simplicity a lot in this show already by talking about beginning to let go gracefully if we can, you know, of our free will if we can, of the things that no longer serve. And even as people transition, realizing that, you know, the energy is getting reconverted. It can't just go away. That person, whoever died, is still with us. You know, yesterday I had the memorial of my best friend in America, Russell. But he was so present there, and everybody could feel that energy, that he was with us still, but in another form.
I just find all of this so wonderful and intriguing and fun to talk about, and we're going to continue doing that with you. Rashmi Khelnani is my guest, and she is the author of Shiva Speaks, Conversations with Mahavatar Babaji, and I am, as she has mentioned, quite familiar with him from the standpoint of Autobiography of Yogi, which I do consider my metaphysical primer. I am Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we ask you to stay right there.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you. Oh, won't you walk?
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we are talking with Rashmi Khelnani, and she is the author of her latest of three books, Shiva Speaks, Conversations with Mahavatar Babaji, as she has also written two other works, which I encourage you to investigate, The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, and Buddha Speaks to the Buddha Nature Within. Now, that's within you. So we encourage you to pick up that book as well. Let's talk a little bit now, Rashmi, a little bit about Shiva and the conversations that are in this book, the messages. Now, I know, again, we've spoken in a very large coverall way about the message from Shiva and this new work that you have out. But can we kind of break it down a little bit into smaller bits in terms of some of the more, shall we say, practical, if you will, or one-on-one kinds of pieces of information that someone can take in, maybe bite-sized bits?
Well, that's the way I would recommend the book is read. It is an electronic book for the time being, and it will have the hard book will be out in January of 2014. But, you know, I do encourage our listeners to try and get hold of it, to download it on their gizmos. And you can just read a very tiny part because it's a tiny little book like the other two, but it's very, very intense. And the first part of the book is my story with Babaji. So it's nice, I think, for my readers of the other two books, and they've all come out pretty fast next to each other.
Yes, they have.
Because the Ascended Masters want these energies out there, and the updates on the energies of these archetypal energies within each and every one of us. So just read a little part, because this book contains the energy behind the words, and it is intense, but it's very powerful. It can heal you. And connecting to Babaji consciously, Maha Avatar means the great direct emanation of Source. Babaji was not born of a woman. He manifested the last time in his last official body as an 18-year-old youth in a cave in Harrikhan. And he very much talked about karma yoga for this age now, which is the yoga of action. And to chant the Maha Mantra as we go about washing dishes, driving, working, you know, as long as we're not using the mind at that time, which is, and instead of doubting and fearing and worrying, you can just chant the mantra within you, Om Namah Shivaya. Om is the primordial sound of the universe. Namah means invocation, and Shivaya means all that is, the oneness, the manifest reality, and also the energy of Lord Shiva, who is the divine meditator that meditates forever. And Babaji is the Christ Yogi that is here as the Ascended Master to take all 7 billion beings, humans, into Christ consciousness, unity consciousness, oneness, Satya Yuga, which is the frequency of the Age of Light and a new golden age. But he talked very much also about Mahakranti, which means the great inner war within each and every one of us, between our lower selves and our higher selves. And he said that that Mahakranti would be less drastic if each of us begins to do the purification through earth, water, fire, air, ether, and the Maha Mantra Om Namah Shivaya helps to purify the mind.
Tell us about, I'm somewhat familiar with the relationship between the various aspects of the divine, especially in the context of the ancient teachings, as is Shakti, Shiva, Brahma, and so forth. A lot of the names are not coming to mind at the moment, but I mean, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of different aspects of the divine.
Absolutely.
Is there
infinitum?
Or as you made the comment earlier about how that each one of us has our own world, and right now there are a little over 7 billion different worlds existing at the same time, which means there are at least that many aspects of the divine in the consciousness of each and every person on the planet.
Beautifully put.
And here's the real irony for those who espouse that their way is the only way, and that is that you're going to be very frustrated knowing that there are 7 billion different aspects of the divine being expressed out there, at least a minimum of 7 billion, as you said, infinite.
So that is why Hinduism is, you know, in a way, it's not like a church. It's not one way. It is many ways. It can't really be called a religion, because it doesn't have one way. And we honor, we have a God for sex, we have a God for everything, you know, and for death and so on. So these are just different aspects, as you intelligently and beautifully have said, Richard, of that one same energy. And so when people say, you know, when you're channeling, you know, just, you know, ultimately I realize more and more on my part that the divine and I are one. That the Shiva energy and I are one, the Jesus energy and I are one, the Melchizedek energy and I are one, the Saint Germain energy and I are one. And that's the same for everybody, but of course a lack of you know, knowingness on that means that that would be their reality. So if they feel that they are disconnected from the divine, well, that's their free will, and that is the reality they will get.
Now, I love,
but it's choice. It's choice.
It always is. Well, absolutely. And of course, we're here to give people different, you know, choices and knowledge of those choices. There are things that we don't know. As I've heard this phrase many times over the last few years, we don't know what we don't know.
Exactly.
And until we open ourselves up to new experiences, to new people, to new books, to whatever that may entail, how are we really going to know? I think about that in the context of even my own life. When back in 2005, 2006, when the biggest transition for me came, aside from my first divorce and, God willing, my only, I choose only to have that one, we made the transition from Phoenix to Santa Barbara, but instead of realizing that we could have made that transition at any time, we chose to do it through the loss of our employment. And so forth. But it was one of those things where I keep hearing from people, too, that there's also divine timing, that there are certain things that you can't rush. You have to allow the divine to guide you through the process.
And the divine is within you. So, yeah, this is a really important point that very often we think, you know, even I have little freakouts every now and then. I think, well, you know, this hotel I've lived in for so many years in America, if things get shaky, then what's going to happen? And then I realize what's going to happen. If whatever ends, no matter how amazing, something better is waiting around the corner. Mm-hmm. And my little self doesn't understand that. My higher self does, but may not tell me the full story because then it would take away all the fun.
Well, yeah.
And the lessons, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is just to realize that as things start destructing in our lives, and some of us have chosen that consciously. I mean, 8 years ago, I consciously chose. I said to Babaji, just step up my path, and if I'm going to bring everything to zero, which I've done many times, which I teach, which is scares the daylights out of a lot of people, but mm-hmm. is scaring people less now because the energy is more with that now. And as a pioneer, I just began a little bit before to be a way shower. And many are going to wake up to way showing. And as we wake up to our own way showing, that really gives others the courage and permission to make similar choices within their free will. It's never pushed on you, or, you know, there's no ism, there's no cult about it. Mm-hmm. There's no religion about it. There's none of that. So, but, you know, we really can make these shifts now. And I chose, you know, to give up everything, including my health. And I manifested second-grade invasive cancer and was able to transmute. The cancer was the easy part to transmute, but the difficult part was all the terrible allopathic medicine that I agreed to take and transmute, you know, chemo, radio, tamoxifen for 5 years, and being cut twice. But it also rejuvenated me, and we're in this time of the wounded healer, whereas we become wounded, we have that compassion, and the light can come through into us. There's a crack between the worlds, between in our hearts. And that compassion comes through. So I'm not propagating for everybody to go out and get sick and all the rest of it. You know,
right.
Some of us have just chosen particular energies to, in a certain way, based on our soul energy. But if these things happen to you, you know, many are getting sick, many of people's loved ones are getting sick or transitioning, and many things are destructing. Just come to that vertical plane, you know, connecting your heart to the heart of the earth and the heart of the cosmos. And connect to your breath. And, you know, Babaji talks a lot about meditation and the breath. And through that, you connect to life. And then you connect to new choice points as opposed to just being reactive and not seeing the bigger picture on why that is destroying. Because there's something even better around the corner. Or, you know, the mind just can't see the bigger picture.
I've always found myself in the right place at the right time throughout most of the transitional points or choice points, is becoming the more common phrase that folks are liking to use. And I kind of like that sound better, choice point.
Yeah, I like that too.
And I have to say that when I take a look at that aspect of my life, it isn't just about, oh boy, that really gives me hope for the future. No, it's about, I'm right where I'm supposed to be right now.
Exactly.
There is no need to even think about the future. I'm right where I need to be.
And embracing the wisdom of uncertainty. The more uncertainty there is in our lives, the more there is a scope for magic, fun, and mystery. You know, to be the living dead, which so many are on the planet, it's not a judgment thing. It's just an observation,
mm-hmm.
you know. When you're in a routine and you're stuck in it and, you know, you're just walking around like a zombie and there's no vitality, there's no... And that's where these great beings, you know, if you let Babaji into your life, He brings great grace, and he says, don't lean on the borrowed staff of another. Think your own thoughts, be your own person. He says, dare, and dare some more. And be silent, though silent like a rose, you know, the language of fragrance goes all around for everybody.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you've just joined us, my guest is Rashmi Kilnani. She's the author of Shiva Speaks and a couple of other books as well. We'll mention in the coming moments on the program. But I wanted to reintroduce her so that if you joined us late, we hope that you will take time to go to the archives page or listen again on Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific time to the program. But the archives are there for you at any time. You can go there and listen. You can download and share them and gather more information from our guests like Rashmi Kilnani, who is with us today. And it's like you, in our conversation here, you keep taking me back, and it's a wonderful thing, to things that I thought of as almost as a child or an older child, preteen even, and let alone teenager. One of them in particularly was that when I started looking at the folks who were older than me, and I'm now talking about when I was in my preteen, early teen years, I was looking at the people who were in their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, in that higher end. And I was watching the way they walked around. Now, you made a very – I liked the point that you made. My observation about the way that they walked is just that, an observation, not a judgment. And I swore to myself that I was not going to wind up like those old men with the canes bent over like a question mark. I said, I'm not going to do that. Whatever it takes, I am not going to do that. I don't want to. And then I had the observation just the other day as I was watching one of these men. And I thought, I began to get an understanding of why they were that way. And it was because they chose to carry whatever weight it was on their shoulders that bent them over. Of a job, a relation, whatever it was. And that's why
the expectations of society.
Yeah.
Expectations of the genetic lines. You know, my father did that, my great-grandfather, my great-great-great. And not questioning that we can change that. We can choose differently. And if people don't like it, well, that's too bad. The opinion of others is none of our business. As we get more mature spiritually, and spiritually, by the way, guys, includes everything.
Mm-hmm.
It includes the mundane, it includes money, it includes everything.
Yeah.
Everything is one. There's no, this is my spiritual time and this is my time to be a criminal, you know?
Yeah, I believe it was, if I'm remembering the quote correctly from the book, it was Teresa Neumann who said that God lives among the pots and the pans.
Yeah, Babaji says in every sinner has a past and every saint has a future. Sorry, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Thank you. I'm being dyslexic suddenly. The energy is so high right now as I'm looking at the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Oh, my. Well, so, and that's another thing, too, is enjoying where you are and finding the beauty in wherever you are. You are fortunate right now, as am I, that we are currently living at this moment in a space.
It's so exciting.
Yeah.
It's so exciting to be in this time because everything is possible. And it's time to be like the divine child, as Richard keeps bringing us back to. This intelligence, divine intelligence of the child, which exists in all of us. So each of us has a wounded child that got wounded through all the conditionings and all that coming onto us.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath that is the divine child that we each have. We all came with these gifts of this knowledge, of this knowingness, and then it was knocked out of us.
Yeah.
You know? And we don't have to go into blame and shame and judgment of why that happened. And we can change the story, as Byron Katie says. Don't let the story weigh you down like the question mark that Richard has just shared. But you can change that. You can take out that floppy disk by just feeling a tiny bit of the pain, a tiny bit of the tears, a tiny bit of the suffering. That's how you recreate in healing. You don't have to have the whole 365-day Broadway hit of never forgiving, always blaming, and all the rest of that. Just a little bit of healing, and that shifts everything. And then in the new choose differently, create differently. And then, of course, we come to the big question which many of us are facing, including people like myself, which is we have a blank new canvas. And even though I have this realm of, you know, I live in three continents and across the globe and dish out these books, and I'm making spiritual film with the spiritual leaders of America, you know, iGod, and hopefully it'll be out soon, God knows when. And all this stuff, and I've got my own radio show now, and I was just selected as one of the number one radio shows on Blog Talk Radio and so on. But there's always another layer or level of creativity. And for someone like me, until I see all people suffering, ending on the planet within free will, I won't be able to rest. I won't be able to feel totally happy, no matter how much I have and no matter what I achieve and no matter what happens. You know, to me, everybody is one. Mm. I see Shiva in everybody, and that's what Shiva means. You know, there are Babaji devotees that think, oh, you know, they're elitist, and, you know, everybody that doesn't believe in that energy is not it, or Jesus, or mm-hmm. whoever. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. Everybody is Shiva, and Jesus came to teach that as well, the unity in all diversity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this blank canvas, when it comes before us, that can be very daunting, you know, especially when we've suffered for so long and we have genetic memory of so much heartbreak and suffering. But that's where the divine child comes in, doesn't it?
Well, you know, you bring up...
Because he wants to play.
Well, exactly. And you bring up another very, very valuable point that I wanted to have both of us talk about, and that is this aspect of the child. Jesus is quoted as saying that unless you come to me as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now,
and that contains all the wisdom of every... I mean, that is just... And what is a child, you know, before all the conditioning?
Yeah.
It's innocent.
Yes.
It's play. You know, we would make sandcastles and we would kick them in the evening after taking so much trouble and watch it destroy and take enjoyment in that. And that's what I did even as an adult when I gave up my partner yet again just 7 years ago, which was not a, you know, I was not a spring chicken anymore. Like when I left the 15 homes when I was 30-something. I was older now.
Mm-hmm.
But I just did it like a child, kicking the sandcastle, because I knew that new sandcastles could be built and new beaches could be come to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that whole aspect of being as a child, a little child, and that childlike, if you... I see very few little children that have attitudes, but that childlike attitude, if you will.
Yeah.
They are just...
And you meet adults that have that.
Yeah.
And then aren't they special? You know, you want to be in that energy. My friend who just passed away, Russell, you know, he was 73, and I'm in, you know, early 50s, and we would just behave like two little children. We would squabble sometimes, and the next minute we were giggling. Then we were singing songs in inappropriate places sometimes, like we were at a dinner party, and we suddenly burst into song. Or start doodling or make pictures, you know. And I mean, how often do we meet adults that are able to let go and do that?
Yeah. Tell me, as I shift gears here a little bit, tell us about this movie, iGod. I am so fascinated by this.
Well, I was asked by Babaji to, you know, and Babaji is just my higher self now, you know, it's all one energy. So my inner intuitive voice said, go to the States after I recovered from the cancer and start working with the spiritual leaders of America. And I said, well, I don't know them. And when I say Babaji, I mean my higher self and he, synonymous. He said, well, don't worry about it, just go. And I met Woody Allen in London and I thought it would be with him, but it didn't happen. And then I came to the States and my publisher and good friend, and he's also received a lot of Divine Mother initiation and other things from me, and Babaji wanted me to work with him to bring him back into the publishing business because he's publishing very important channel books. I said, why don't we make a film with Neil Donald Walsh? Why don't you become the executive producer? So I said, I have to meet Neil, and then I'll decide, you know. And he said, but he's really famous. Haven't you read his books? And I said, well, I have, but, you know, I need to meet the person, and then I'll gauge the energy. So we went there, and this film is about unity consciousness, and we've got Marianne Williamson, Deepak Chopra, myself, quantum physicists, people of the street, and people of all denominations of religions answering these five questions that Neil is asking about heaven and hell and God and so on. And through that, you realize that though everybody's speaking a different language, you know, the truth is kind of one. You know, it's just different ways to the same mountaintop.
That, to me, is so extraordinary. There was another quote, and I'm not, pardon me, and I'm not going to, I'm going to paraphrase it. But it's from a group of people that I became acquainted with and was a member of their organization, if you will, or their body. And I loved this saying, if you accept our messenger, if you will, of God, then you accept all. If you reject one of the messengers of God, you reject them all.
Wow.
And this was of the Baha'i faith. You accept one, you accept them all. You cannot.
Yes. And that's what the Baha'i faith teaches.
That's right. And I was so blessed to be a part of that group of people for about a year and a half.
I was too. they wanted me to be a teacher of it. And we have an amazing temple in New Delhi.
Oh, I can only imagine.
You would love, Richard, because it's a huge lotus. And you go in there, there's nothing in there. And you just sit, everybody sits in deep meditation.
Well, the concepts for me of the Baha'i faith in particular, since we've kind of gone in this direction, have stood out for me. And I've shared them with people. I'm no longer affiliated officially and directly with the Baha'is, but I still have all of the books that I collected over that year and a half. Boy, did I collect a lot of books, a lot of the writings of the founder and so forth. And
Baha'u'llah.
And the one thing that I found so fascinating was the incredible openness. I've shared this story with people before about how when I decided to become a member, I thought, you know, it's only appropriate that I disassociate myself with the other organized religion that I was born into. And I felt it only out of respect, not because I hated them and I needed to get rid of them. I felt it was out of respect that I request to be removed from the rolls of the Catholic Church. And the funny part about it is that I took the letter that I wrote requesting this to the rectory of the church that I was baptized in, and they said, and I quote, "We'll put it in your file." And I said back to them, "You and the FBI have a file on me?" Jokingly, of course. But then when I decided to go my own way, a new way, and transition, and again, sort of kick the sandcastles, these people were so open. They said, "Hey, we'll remove your name from the list. We won't send you any more newsletters, and you are welcome to come back anytime." And I have never.
They are amazing, because I also walked away and said, "I can't be a teacher of that." That I wanted whatever I was going to teach to be even more non-denominational than the Baha'i faith,
right?
And that's how I came across Reiki, you know. And obviously I had to work with the energy and then work with the energy of the spiritual aspects of the different mystery schools, which is what I became a specialist in, is bringing these teachings into current time. So how interesting. I mean, I really feel every time we do a show, Richard, that we're so in sync in a way that, you know, is way beyond the words that we speak, with energy and being able to step down that energy and share that with our listeners. That in a way that's extremely heartfelt and of that oneness field.
Well, I have to say that I do feel quite a similar feeling in that respect, and it's when I have guests on such as you, who, in a manner of speaking, you and I are sort of preaching to the choir one another. I also know that there are people who are listening, who are hungry. They're desirous of something different in their lives. I make no claims that I have any answers. That's where you come in. That's where you come in, okay?
And what I would say to our listeners is that every single answer that you ever wished for is within you, and that ultimately life is beyond answers, that there is this unknowable, mysterious part, which is the deep mystery, and it's just to enjoy the journey, and it's not to try and desperately reach a destination, because there is no such thing. That is another grand illusion. It's to enjoy every moment of every day, and the greatest enjoyment is in simple things, and it's in that sharing, you know. And these wisdom teachings that I offer through these three books, you know, it's just universal energy. And, you know, physically I realized I couldn't physically go and work on healing sessions on many people. And recently I was asked this question by this lady who'd been on a major path, and she took me out to dinner because she said, you're always helping all of America, and your whole life is one big philanthropic work, and sometimes nobody's there for you. So I went, because I had just been teaching about receiving on another radio show. But she asked a funny question. She said, if everything is of the oneness, then nobody needs any healing, do they? So why do you keep talking about healing? Which is true. But you see, I said, don't mix relative and the absolute. And this is what I bring in as a special teacher between the East and the West. And even a lot of the major spiritual teachers out there in the West don't get this. And that is that at the end, they may get it intellectually, but they don't get it in embodiment, which is that I can feel the nothingness energy in people. And that is the energy that we can all feel in meditation and when we just become the detached witness. And so we have absolute reality. In absolute reality, there is no need for protection. There's no need for healing. There's no need for anything. And ultimately, nothing is happening. But in relative reality, if I cut you, you will bleed. And in relative reality, as I sow, so shall I reap, and so on. So she was mixing relative with absolute, and that is what the tricky mind does. There's no need to do that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Because the only one we trick then is ourselves. Because yes, within absolute reality, healing doesn't need to happen. But then nor does that discussion, does it, about that question?
You know, the mind comes into question,
yeah,
and its
yeah.
role. And I know that I've read as well as spoken with people over the years about quieting the mind, about trying to master the mind, control the mind.
You can't control the mind.
Well, that was always the final conclusion that folks that I've talked with have always come to me with. And that is, you can't. And that what it kind of comes down to this story. And I think I was talking with someone earlier this morning about this. It's like that story with Paramahansa and his guru in the mosquito netting. And his guru was sleeping soundly, and he had the netting around him, but the mosquitoes were everywhere. They weren't bothering him, but boy, were they going after Paramahansa. And he woke his yogi, and he, you know, they went through a dialogue about this. And the bottom line was that until you embrace them, they will continue to bother you. And if you embrace them, they won't bother you anymore.
Beautiful.
And I loved that story.
Beautiful.
And I shared.
And that's the best way to heal right now.
Yeah.
Is the embracement. So for all of us, you know, we're looking to fix things on the outside. We're seeing the evil outside of ourselves. But when I teach Karuna Reiki Mastery, it's all about embracing the shadow and bringing the shadow up to heal it. And then you have amazing, you know, spiritual leader teachers saying, we don't have a shadow. Now, that is a cosmic joke, you know. No matter what place we reach, as long as you're in a body, everybody has some issues, including some of the saints, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that, you know, give that shadow a name, bring it out, make it into an entity, ask it what it's teaching you, and its original intention is always a good one. But then instead of pulling it out and getting rid of it and all the rest of it, you've got to embrace that energy. You've got to say, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I embrace my fear, I embrace my anger, I embrace my need to control, or my need, jealousy is coming up. Don't judge it, you know, it's just an energy, it came up, big deal. If you embrace it, then the mosquito doesn't bite, so that is just, wow, that's lovely you brought that up.
Well, I know that this, the same example in my own life, when we've had a situation where there's been an annoying noise. Let's say a dog barking off in the distance. And it's like, boy, I wish that dog would shut up.
Yeah.
What I did to not make the dog be quiet, but in my mind it became quiet, I started wondering, I wonder why he's barking. And so I started tuning into the bark and trying to hear what he was, if you will, what he was saying. And what I got in that particular instance was, that's not a vicious or angry bark. That's not a, you better get away from my place bark. That's a, where are you? I'm lonely. Why aren't you home yet? And I'm hungry bark.
Mm.
And my heart went out to him. And it never bothered me again. Because I understood why the sound was being made.
And, beautiful.
And I think that's what we need to start doing in, I mean, I have to say that I went through a 2-year period, Rashmi, of dealing with high blood pressure. Now, part of it had to do with a knee issue that I finally had taken care of, and I believe that my high blood pressure is back down to normal. But it was more, I began not to get along real well with the outside world, and that's the outside world outside of me, which meant everything else. And so when I would drive, I would get upset over people doing stupid things. I mean, that's the way I would phrase it. I've gotten a lot better because there's no guarantee that I'm not doing stupid things from their perspective. Okay? Even though I might be following all the rules and regulations, to them, that was stupid. And they get upset and they get angry and they honk their horns and they do this and that and the other. And so I think bringing this into our conversation, it's like, all right, so now I have to, if that's what it takes, seeing it from their perspective.
We have to put ourselves in the shoes of another if we want to come out into peaceful conflict resolution. We definitely do.
Now, the golden rule was a wonderful thing, as Jesus said it, as they put it, do unto others as you would have them do unto
others
you.
Others do unto you.
I love the twist. I don't know who did it. I wish I could give credit to the person who created the twist in it, but I think it's an even better golden rule. Do unto others as if you were the others.
And guess what? The as if actually isn't true. There is no as if. You are the other.
Exactly.
And that's absolute reality. Yeah. In absolute reality, everything is Shiva. Mm-hmm. Everything is oneness. And that is absolute reality. And so that's why some of us are these bodhisattvas. You know, I'm like a bodhisattva that I cannot, you know, I'm not responsible. And I'm, you know, I agree with my mother when she says, who do you think you are, Florence Nightingale? You know, or do you think you're Jesus? You know, Jesus couldn't do it, so why? How are you going to do it? And I said, well, if, you know, some of us are here to hold that heart frequency. Since we were babies, I knew I came to do this job. And it's not a job, it's a pleasure, because everybody is me. And yes, it's in a very dense reality, but we chose this duality game, and it's coming to an end now. Yeah. And we can just embrace it back in. And as you said earlier, it doesn't actually even exist.
So this movie, I Am God.
Yeah. I God.
Do we know?
Like iPod.
Spelled with the same letters, same number of letters. Do we know when it will be released, or is that still up in the air?
God knows.
Okay.
Goddess knows.
Excuse me. Let me get him on the phone.
Neil is a very busy guy, and he, you know, we need him to just complete the narration at this point.
Okay.
And then, but I was told by Babaji that it's also to do with this book, Shiva Speaks. So hopefully tomorrow we're signing this contract, and then I think the book will. You know, he said to me these three books and the film were all part of one big plan of the Ascended Masters. I know that may sound extremely grandiose, but I mean, the Divine Mother Speaks, the healing of the human heart. Just reading that, even if nobody ever read that book, you know, they're going to be affected by that, aren't they? I mean, who is the Divine Mother, and where is my heart, and how is my heart feeling? You know, for 26,000 years, I've been told not to feel my feelings.
Yeah. Divine plan is divine plan. You can't argue with it, you know? And if that's the way they want it or she wants it, then hey.
So 2014, I hope that at some point it's going to be out, because, you know, we've been working on this for quite a few years now, and I've sold the roof over my head for all these things to be made possible and accessible. And many of us are going to find, not just like Rashmi Khilnani, but many are finding now, I'm noticing, that they would like to give their work for free to people as much as possible. Mine is 99% free.
Mm-hmm.
And the time will come when all of us will do that. And as we do that, the whole issue of money and push and pull and lack and starvation is going to end. It may sound crazy and impossible, but it is going to.
Well, I always let people know that there is no charge for my interviews. If you want to download it and listen to it, it's not mine. It's yours, as I said at the beginning of this program. I
mean, thank you for your work.
I have been approached by many people who have said, you know, you need to monetize. If you just charge 99 cents, and it's like, No, it isn't about it. It's not about that. I have to pay for the program. Okay, that's fine. And if I get support from people, hey, wonderful. But I'm with you.
The universe supports you, exactly. Doesn't it? Always.
Always. Always. Yeah. Not in the way that we always, not in the way we think. And that's why we need to let go of expectation. Let go of expectation. So aside from the three books you currently have, plus the movie that is being worked on, what is next?
Well, my heart is in something called Heart Song and Heart Dance, where I want to create a new system where everybody just meets around a fire and sings and dances, and we bring in shamanic energy and breath and vibration and all the things, and everybody gets whole and complete and becomes little kids, and we can have a lot of fun.
I like that.
So I would like to do that, but for some reason, I've been putting it out there for a year. And before that, I was part of something called Biodanza, which was amazing, and I loved it. But that came to an end because one of my roles is to go all over the world and be like a spiritual James Bond-esque and, you know, shift energy with the groups and the leaders to bring it to a higher energy of the heart within free will.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things. The other thing is my mom's a singer. She's 81 and lives in Delhi, and she brings six things into our life on a daily basis. So suddenly, though she's been the greatest challenge in my life, my human mother's become my greatest role model. And these six things to raise frequency, to have joy in your life are, there are many, but here are six: singing, dancing, good food, sharing, the animals, and nature.
Mm.
And she has this every day on a consistent level, every single day, all six. So I would like to also create some CDs of music and singing and bringing, because one of the gifts I carry is this, of the Hathor energy, is this, I'm able to heal people through the sound of my voice in radio shows or through the sound of the speaking voice, because speaking voice is also sound, sacred sound.
Mm-hmm.
It can be. Obviously, we can use it in very horrible ways as well. And so bringing in music and harmonies and creating more bridges between the East, the West, and so on. So bringing sound, vibration, and singing and dancing through creativity, and also making more spiritual films. But until this one gets done, you know.
Yeah. Oh, no. I understand.
This is a big project.
One at a
and
time.
It's got major leaders in it, so we need to get it out there.
Very exciting. Well, we look forward to the release of I, God, as well as to your, that being you, the listener, picking up a copy of Shiva Speaks. I think it would be well worth your time and energy to pick up Shiva Speaks, Conversations with Maha Avatar Babaji, as well as her other works, and that is Rashmi Kilnani. The other works are The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, and Baba Buddha Speaks to the Buddha Nature Within.
And I'm on rashmikilnani.com. And Richard, is there a way you could share links that I could share on Facebook and Twitter?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can befriend me on Facebook or get it on my wall or get me on yours, because then I share it multiple times with 10,000 people and more.
Well,
it really gets out there.
I will send you the links to the website, and you can post them there on Facebook. I'm in process of reestablishing myself on Facebook. I am not there at this present time.
That would be great.
Trying to get that put
such
together.
Good work.
Well, thank you. And I will get that information to you. Again, rashmikilnani.com is your website. And we've mentioned all of the books and the movie. And we encourage people to get in touch with you through your website as well.
And Facebook. Definitely
and Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah.
All right. And Facebook, that would be Rashmi Kilnani?
That's Rashmi Kilnani, author Rashmi Kilnani, and all three books have their own individual pages. And I post a lot of wisdom, not just of these things, but also of many other people, and inspiration, and radio shows, my own and many other ones of the great teachers out there. So, you know, you get massive amount of healing and inspiration. So please join me on Facebook.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us. And before I let you go, I don't know whether I asked you these questions the last time you were on the program, so I'm going to ask them of you now, and then we'll wrap up the broadcast. Who is Rashmi Kilnani?
Nobody, nothing. And cosmic being and becoming.
I like that. What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
To end suffering on this planet and bring heaven on earth on this planet within free will for all.
And to that end, how powerful are we as human beings?
Totally, completely, and absolutely, as long as we know we are, as opposed to believe we're not.
I like that. Rashmi, thank you again for joining us. It's great to have you back.
Good question.
Thank you. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.